وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله. We have the colors from the book of funerals. كتاب الجنائز is the book of بلوغ المرام. Book number 3, the book of funerals. حديث 425 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكثروا بذكر هذه من لذات الموت. رواه الترمذي والنسائي وصحابه بن حبان. نارير أبو هريرة may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said: Remember Allah the cutter, means the remover of delights, means the sweets, which is the death, reported by At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i. Ibn Hibban Gurayr is sahih, means authentic. In this authentic hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam command the people to remember the cutter and the remover of delights, the remover of sweets. The remover of the sweets, or the one which cuts all the delights, is the death. Is the death. The death and the pain of the death stabs and cuts all the delights and the sweets. It is the most painful situation that the person goes through is the death time. So the Prophet ﷺ, he ordered us to remember it a lot, to remember the death much. Because if you remember the death, you remember Akhirah. You remember life after death, starting from the grave. And remembering that life helped us to prepare for it. To prepare for it. And on the other hand, remembering the death remind us how this worldly life is not so significant. It's not that important, this worldly life, except for those who use it for the hereafter, to prepare for the hereafter. وعن أنس بن مالك حديث 426 عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر نزل به، فإن كان لابد متمنيا فليقول: اللهم أحيني ما كانت الحياة خيرا لي، وتوفني ما كانت الوفاة خيرا لي. متفق عليه. ناري أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه، Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said: None of you should wish for death. None of you should wish for death due to the being afflicted by harm. But if he must wish, means for death, he should say, Oh Allah, give me life as long as it is good for me, and give me death if death is better for me. Agreed upon. In this hadith, Prophet ﷺ, he forbade to wish the death. Somebody to have a desire to die, he wants to die, due to the affliction, due to the calamity, happen to the person, or any harm, pain, loss of job, loss of beloved ones, problems, life sentence, and the like. Anything of this and the other shouldn't cause the believer to wish to die. Because he doesn't know what's in front, what's before him. What he's going through after death, he doesn't know it. Also, if he remains alive, the believer may increase closeness to Allah, may increase righteousness, may make repentance, may be a better Muslim. So not to wish to die. But if that happened, because was the person going through of hardships which he cannot handle, he says in this case, like when there is fitna, Muslims killing one another, deviation from the religion, from the sunnah, civil war, lot of trials. In a way, the person, as another hadith says, he may wish to be the one who is in the grave, to be safe from that. So if that's going to happen, then he make this dua. Allahumma ahyini ma kanat al-khayatu khayra li. Oh Allah, give me life as long as it is good for me. Wa tawaffani ma kanat al-wafatu khayra li. And cause me to die if this is better for me. So in this, he rely on Allah Azza wa Jal. He ask Allah to choose for him the best, the death or the life. وعن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المؤمن يموت بعرق الجبين رواه الثلاثة وصحابه ابن حبان. This is authentic hadith. Narrated بريدة, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a believer dies with his sweat on the barrow. A believer dies with his sweat on the barrow, means the forehead. What's the mean? Reported by Al-Thalatha, the three, and Ibn Hibban, greater it sahih, means authentic. The people of knowledge have different understanding for the meaning of this hadith. Some of them, like Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, said, it means a believer yamutu bi'araqi al-jabin. He die while he is in a struggle and he's struggling, he's doing hard work in his religious matters and his worldly matters. In a way, he's swearing. He's swearing. So a believer is not a lazy person. He's a hard worker. He's working for his akhirah, for rectifying his affairs, for getting close to Allah. Also, he's working for his worldly affairs, not to suffice himself from asking, from begging and the like. So he is in a struggling. This was said. Another meaning is that al-mu'min yamut bi'araq al-jabin, means when he is dying, he has this sign because of more pain to be purification and forgiveness for his sin, that he is swearing on his Jabin as well. So these two meanings were said, and also other meaning. Al-mu'min yamutu bi'araq al-jabin. And some ulama, they choose like Ibn Baz, the first meaning, which is a believer, he dies while he is having swearing on his face, means because of struggling, hard working in his religious affairs and his worldly affairs. He's not a lazy person, he's not a man of enjoyment. Rather, he is someone who is doing hard work. وعن أبي سعيد وأبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال, this hadith 428, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله رواه مسلم والأربعة. Narrated أبو سعيد and أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with them, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, prompt those of you who are dying to repeat after you, La ilaha illallah. Prompt those of you who are dying to repeat after you, Nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, reported by Muslim and Arba'ah. In this hadith, Prophet ﷺ, he commanded the believers who attend a believer who is dying, or even general, even non-Muslim, to say to the person, to say after you, La ilaha illallah. Nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Because if that's what the person says, and he die on that, he will be from the people of Jannah. Even if he was a disbeliever before that, he say this great word at the death time, he will enter Jannah. He become Muslim by that. And a believer says that he die upon faith and he enter Jannah. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Whoever his last word is La ilaha illallah, he enters Jannah. So this is the best word and the most important speech you should say at the death time. Worry nothing but that word when death approaches you, if you are able. Say La ilaha illallah. If it happened, you say something else, someone asks you a question, you answer, go back and again say La ilaha illallah. In order your last word to be La ilaha illallah. Because if that happened, you will enter Jannah, paradise. You will enter Jannah. Likewise, the non-Muslims. If you attend a non-Muslim who is dying, especially your relative, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for his uncle Abu Talib, don't forget to say La ilaha illallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Talib at his death time, Ya Ammi, قل لا إله إلا الله. Say لا إله إلا الله. If Abu Talib, who was in his entire life idol worshipper, would have said at that moment of death, لا إله إلا الله, he would have entered Jannah. So this is very important. Some ignorant Muslim, when somebody is in that state of death, they turn the TV for him. They turn music for him. They make fun around him. A'udhu billah. Some of them, they make fun of the person. How many times we tell you pray? You didn't pray. Now you feel. Wal-iyadhu billah. You don't say that to the believer. You give him hope. لا يتمنى لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن ظن بالله تعالى. حديث عن المسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم said none of you should die except while he think good about Allah. Meaning he is expecting Allah's forgiveness, Allah's mercy. So a person should be helped. When someone is dying as a Muslim, you put hope in him. Yes, alhamdulillah, you are a believer. Yes, you are not complete, but alhamdulillah, you believe in Allah, you believe in His Messenger, you believe Allah's religion, you are upon khair, and Allah is so merciful. You remind him. And alhamdulillah, Allah promised anyone who die upon Islam that he will enter Jannah. Allah honors His word, La ilaha illallah, the true word. Allah honors that word, Subhanah. And He promised anyone who die upon it, he will enter paradise. He will enter Jannah. طيب. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وعن معقل معقل بن يسار رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اقرأوا على موتاكم ياسين رواه داود والنسائي وصحابه بن حبان. Hadith 429 narrated معقل ابن يسار, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite Surah Yasin over your dead. Recite Surah Yasin over your dead. Abu Dawud and An-Nasa'i reported it, and Ibn Hibban graded it sahih. This hadith is not authentic. There is a majhulun rawi. Rawiun, fihi rawiun, majhulun, da'ifun. There's a weak narrator. Shaykh al-Albani disauthenticated it. So nothing shows to recite Quran on dead, nothing. Or to say after somebody die, to say La ilaha illallah. Or to say to him, if the angels come to you and they ask you who is your Lord, say Allah. Who's your messenger? Say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who's your, what's your Islam? Say Islam. Nothing of this is authentic. If someone die, his actions cut off, except three. So when the laqin, when the talqin is being made, when the person is being called to say La ilaha illallah, is when the person alive. After he die, he die. So this hadith saying recite Surah Yasin over your dead is not authentic. Rather, in the Surah Yasin itself, verse that Quran لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. Quran is warning for the living, not for the dead. It's in Surah Yasin itself. Verse from Surah Yasin, Allah says لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا, to warn those who are alive, not the one who died. The warning time passes if the person dies. Even some ulama said, if this hadith would have been authentic, it would have been, the meaning would have been, not the dead, is those who are about to die. To recite Quran, those who are about to die, to make easy for the pain. And if the hadith would have been authentic, that's the meaning would have been that way. Not after death, means when you're about to die. But it's not authentic. Yes, someone who is sick, you can recite Quran on him, whether it's Yasin or other Quran. Especially قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And you wipe over your hand over the person. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to die and he couldn't move his hand, Aisha radiallahu anha used to recite قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ on the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and wipe over it on him alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of the hand of Prophet is blessed. Naam. So it's legislated. If you come to a Muslim who is sick, to recite Quran on him, to wipe over. But not after death. After death, no Quran recitation on the grave or even after that. The ulama, they differ. If somebody die, can Quran be recited for him? Quran is recited on behalf of him? Some of them say yes, the reward will reach to the person. Some of them say no. Some of them say no. If the ulama, they differ, then the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is the judge. And with the ulama, they say, nothing shows that Prophet ﷺ recited Quran for anyone who died, nor any of his companions. Therefore, it should be left off. Sadaqah, yes, charity, making hajj on behalf of the person, making umrah on behalf of the person, making dua, all this is authentic. But recite Quran, not for the dead. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أبي سلمة وقد شق بصره فأغمضه ثم قال إن الروح إذا قبض اتبعه البصر. فضج ناس من أهلي فقال لا تدعوا على أنفسكم إلا بخير فإن الملائكة تؤمن على ما تقولون. ثم قال اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه واخلفه في عقلي وفي في عقبه واخلفه في عقبه. رواه مسلم. Very beautiful دعاء. Narrated Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, the mother of the believers, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come into Abu Salama, means when he died, his eyes were fixedly open. Closing them, he said, when the soul is taken, the sight follows it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the soul is taken, the sight follows it. Some of his family wept and wailed. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, do not supplicate for yourself anything but good. For the angels say, Ameen, to what you say. He then said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, O Allah, forgive Abu Salama, raise his degree among those who are rightly guided. Make his grave spacious for him, granting him light in it, and granting him a successor in his descendants who remain, reported by Muslim. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to this Sahabi Abu Salama, his great companion, while his eyes started going sharp, looking up. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam closed the eyes of the Sahabi. And that is the sunnah. When someone dies, his eyes will remain open. It should be closed. The mouth, all this should be closed. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam closed his eyes. And if it's closed, it will remain closed. It will become attached to it. Then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when the soul is taken, the sight follows it. When the soul is taken away from the body, the sight of the person follows it. So even though the soul went out of the body, but still the eyes followed it. And this is a proof that the soul is something that the eyes can see. Therefore, it goes up, it follows it where it's going to. But with that eyes of the dead see, the other people don't see it. Because now he is dead. He's another life. He's in another situation. So his eyes see, even though the soul is out of the body, but still there is connection between the soul and the body. Therefore, the eyes still see things. They see the soul. When that happened, and people realize that Abu Salama, he died, what the family, some of his family members wept and wailed. So they cry. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, do not supplicate for yourself anything but good, for the angels say amen to what you say. In that situation, say only good. Even for the one who died, say good about him. Don't mention his shortcoming. Don't mention it. The angels will say amen. But sometimes people must say, because this person become famous with corruption. So they are saying it. Al-Muhim. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make dua for the Sahabi. He said, Allahumma ghfir li Abi Salam. Oh Allah, forgive Abu Salam. Warfa' darajatahu fil mahdiyin. And raise his degree among those who are rightly guided. Wafsah lahu fi qabrihi. And make his grave spacious for him. Make his grave spacious for him. Make it means a big room. So the grave sometimes is spacious and sometimes is small. وَنَوِّرْ لَهُ فِيهِ and make and guarantee him light in it. Oh Allah, guarantee light in the grave of Abu Salam. So sometimes the grave has light. Even though it was covered with wood and with sand, with box maybe, but inside there's a light. Or, وَالْعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ it's a dark. وَخْلُفُ فِي عَقِبِهِ and oh Allah, guarantee him successor in his descendants who remain. Meaning, so Allah, make those Abu Salam left behind be mada, good people who follow in him. This Sahabi, when he died, after he was buried, Umm Salama was affected strongly by the death of her husband, because she loved him so much. So she was on the grave. She was reminded to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. To say, Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un. We belong to Allah and to him alone we return. Oh Allah, give me better than this. Means Abu Salama. This is Sahih al-Bukhari. Umm Salama said, she said to the people who remind her that, who is better than Abu Salama that Allah will give me? When you are saying make dua, oh Allah give me better than Abu Salama. She said, who is better than Abu Salama? Oh, Allah is going to give it to me. They said the Prophet said that. So she said it, she submit. She herself talk about that, that Allah gave her better than Abu Salama. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, and she become one of the believers, one of the mothers of the believers, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So this hadith is clear. When a musibah happen, you say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran min. Oh Allah, give me reward with regard to this tragedy and give me better than it. And give me better than it. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين توفي سجي ببرد حبرة سجي ببرد ببرد حبرة أو ببرد حبرة متفق عليه. نارير عائشة من الله be pleased with that. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, he was covered with striped, means Yemeni garment. He was covered with striped garment. Agree upon. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died. Even though some Sufia, they deny that. They say he didn't die. Some Sufia, they say they didn't die. Even though the Sahaba, they say he died. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, she says Prophet, he died. And before that, Allah said in his Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, you are going to die. وَإِنَّهُ مَيِّتٌ, they are going to die. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُ. Then, on the day of resurrection, you will debate before Allah, argue before Allah. Then you have argument between you, before Allah. Allah will judge between you. So in this hadith, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, he was covered with this Yemeni cloth, stripe garment. It has lines. وعنها أن أبا بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته. رواه البخاري. ناري عائشة رضي الله عنها that أبو بكر رضي الله عنه kissed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was dead. Abu Bakr kissed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was dead. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sick whole week, and his sickness was increasing. In a way, he reached a situation he cannot even pray with the Muslims. He tried. He lost consciousness. He asked, "Did the people pray?" They say, "No, they wait to you." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they give him shower. Then he started trying to go, he fell down. Third time, he said, Murwa Abu Bakr fali yusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the people. Then the pain went, get more strong. In a way, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died. Then at that time, Abu Bakr was not in the city. He was not in that area. So when he come, Abu Bakr, he come, Muslims in a real calamity. Musiba, the biggest one they ever experienced. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ died, but they differ. Some of them, they say he died. Some of them, including Umar, he say he didn't die. Umar, he was on the member of the Prophet ﷺ, saying, no one can say Prophet Muhammad died. Nobody. He just go to Allah as Prophet Musa did, and he's coming back. When Abu Bakr come in this situation and he see the people they deliver, he went to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ who was dead. And he uncovered the piece of the cloth on his face. And he kissed Prophet's face sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, O the Messenger of Allah, you smell good, dead and life. Life and death. Prophet was smelling very nice, alayhi salatu wasallam. Then Abu Bakr, he come back, he come to Abu Bakr, Umar, who is still on the minbar, telling people, nobody can say Prophet ﷺ. And then he remove him Umar resisted. Abu Bakr didn't move him by force. And then he stood up there. And he said, whoever used to worship Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he died. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah is ever living. Then he recited ayah, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ الآية. Umar said, it's like I never heard that ayah before that time. The ayah mentioned that Prophet is going to die. He said, it's like I never heard this ayah. Then Muslims accepted, Prophet he died. And they bury him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Naam. Taib. So in this hadith, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what he did, he kissed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam face, and he said, Tibta ya Rasulallah hayyan wa mayyitan. Oh, the Messenger of Allah, you smell good, life and death. Yes. Which one? Jazakallah, 176. Barakallah fi wa ahsan la ilayk. Taib. So this hadith shows the permissibility of kissing someone who died. Yes, it's permissible. But not people to be in line as they do some cultures and delaying to bury the person. No, person was already there and the Muslim, they're getting ready for praying janazah on him, but they differ on the situation. There Abu Bakr, he come, he make sure Prophet ﷺ, he died, that's why he took over. Then he see Prophet ﷺ, he died. To make sure, to verify that, to see with his own eyes. Then he kiss him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he tell people that. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نفس المؤمن معلقة بدينه حتى يقضى عنه رواه أحمد والترمذي وحسنه. ناري أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said a believer's soul is attached to his debt. A believer's soul is attached to his debt till it is paid. According to this hadith, a person shall remain under his indebtedness even after his death as long as his loans are not paid off. As long as his loans are not paid off. So in this hadith that a believer's soul, let alone a disbeliever, is attached to his debt till it is paid on his behalf. Reported by Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi, who graded al-Hassan, the hadith is authentic. So in this hadith, the importance of paying off the debt. Because if you are a righteous person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mercy you, your soul is held back until the debt is paid off. This is highly disencouragement to accept a loan. But if it's necessity, then pay it off as early as possible. Question, you borrow money from someone to pay him by after a year. Let us say $1,000, you pay him back after a year. After he lend you, you want it for a purpose, that $1,000. Alhamdulillah, you get another $2,000 from another source. What should you do? You keep the $1,000 until the year ends or you return it? Yes, you return it, should return it. Don't delay it, return it. Don't say he gave it to me 1 year. He gave it to you 1 year because of your need. Now you are not in that state. And he needs his money. Some Muslims, they're able to pay back, they don't. And those people who make this ihsan, they need their money. Laysa hadha min al-ihsan. That's not being good. It's not from thanking people. So the earliest you able, pay him back, all of it. if not at least some. Don't delay it, because if you die, your soul is connected to it. You will have all this joy life, you will not. Your soul is in jail. It is stopped until the debt is paid off. Even sometime Prophet Muhammad, he left to pray janazah on someone who there was dead. He asked, when they say there is dead, he says, Sallu ala sahibkum, pray your companion. I'm not praying on him. Think about that. Prophet Muhammad walking away from your janazah, not making dua for you. One of the Muslims, Jazahullahu khayran, one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, said, oh, the Muslim of Allah, I pay on behalf of him. He said, okay. Hussein, he prayed the janazah. Then he asked next day. He said, not yet, O Jumsallah. Next day. Or not yet, O Jumsallah. Did you pay then? Then he said, yes. He said, now his soul has been released. Naam. Even if he's rich? Yes. The brother asks, if the person, now we mentioned, if the person is in need of the money, how would, if he doesn't need of money, he is rich? Question, is there someone who doesn't need money? Yes. Okay. You understand? Muhammad, what do you understand? Yes, everybody needs money. Prophet ﷺ said, look, if a man, son of Adam, is given a value of gold, he latamanna thaniya, you need another one. This is the reality of a human being. Do you think those, they say, the billionaires, they don't need money? Well, they don't rest and go to the house of Allah and worship Allah. They don't. They have, they call dirham. Dirham brings hem. Hem, making worry, collecting it, worrying about, maybe the thieves will take. Al-Muhim, yes, if somebody borrow money from someone else, it is not a mandatory on him to return before the deadline. It's not a mandatory. He can keep it. He can keep it because that's what the person agreed to. But what's better? What's better is to return the money back. One, because the person needs his money. No question. Person needs the money. Ask those you think they have a lot of money, ask them, do you need the money? Yes, they need money. The second is that the person who borrowed the money, he may die while it still is in his hand. So his soul is connected to it. Only there is a situation, bi'inillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allahul Kareem subhanah will pay on behalf of the person, which is when the person he borrowed because he was in need, and he was trying to return back as early as possible, but he was not able. And he died. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, will pay on behalf of him. Man akhada amwala nasi yuridu adda'aha, adda Allahu anhu. Wa man akhada amwala nasi yuridu itlafaha, atlafahu Allah. So that situation is exceptional. This person, he tried his best to pay it back. Wallahi, some people, they borrow money, they worry. The promise is a year, they worry every day. Every day. They don't feel relief until they pay it off. And some, they don't care. Time pass, they even deny. They hang with the phone on. They change the address. Some of them say, you give me as a gift. It was not a loan. Tayyib, they have many. So they say, how you expect me to pay you back and you have better life? You are very greedy. Astaghfirullah. La. The one who lend you something without riba wal iyadu billah, he did great things. He did a great favor. Pay him back his money on time as early as possible and free yourself from responsibility. And then if you are in need of it, go back to him. That person will give you normally. If you find you already brought the money early of the time and you end up needing, he will give it to you if he's able. Al-Muhim, some Muslims, they're very bad when it comes to the borrowing money. They lend, they borrow from it, they don't pay you. Wal-iyadu billah. La, la. So this hadith shows the importance of paying of the debt. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الذي سقط عن راحلته فمات اغسلوه بماء وسدر وكفنوه في ثوبين متفق عليه. Who can remind us one benefit of lending money to those who are in need of it? Someone come to you, you need to borrow money from you to help him. Naam. Naam. Okay. What's the reward of lending the money to someone? Just a lending, not if you leave it for him. That's the best if you leave it. Akhi, you owe me $1,000, you remember? Don't worry about it. I'm not expecting from you. Take it as a gift. That's special, but somebody wants his money back. What's the reward? Barakallahu fiqh. Ahsant. Tayyib. One of the amazing hadith. I always surprise that hadith. Wallahi, it shows how Allah subhanahu is so merciful. Allah is so merciful. This hadith make me surprise. If someone lend money to someone, let us say he agree on to pay it back after a year. He lended him $1,000 to pay it back after a year. That person who lended that money, it's like he give as a charity that amount of money every day till the deadline. So how many thousands of dollars he gave as a charity? Yes. 12,000. Very good Yemeni. Barakallahu fiqh alayk. So every day from the time he lended until the deadline is equal to what he lended of charity. So you lend someone $1,000. The deadline after a year, it means you give as a charity $12,000 and you get your $1,000 back. How about if the year ends, but the person is not able? He's not able to pay you back. And you wait. What's the reward? Now, double of that. So let us say he's not able until another year, second year. Second year, how much are you consider you spend the cost of Allah as a charity? $24,000. Second year, $24,000, plus first year, $12,000, $36,000. You lend someone $1,000, after 2 years he return it. With Allah, you spend $36,000 for sadaqah. If this doesn't encourage to lend those who are in need, then what will encourage? Here, the mercy of Allah is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa jal, is encouraging so much to lend. On the other hand, Allah declare war on the one who lend, but he wanna charge, he wanna interest. Allah forbid that. If you lend someone, you don't expect 1 extra dollar. You lend him 1,000, just expect your 1,000, nothing more. More than that, you declare war. Allah declare war on you. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. But on the other hand, you do that for the sake of Allah, every day, the amount of money you lended of charity, you give it for the sake of Allah. Until the deadline, then after the deadline, person is not able, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ You wait in him, is double reward. Why Allah encouraged him so much? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind to the needy, to the one who is in need of someone to lend him, to encourage those who have to help the needy one. Help the needy one. He's in need, he cannot pay the rent. He cannot pay the medical expenses. He cannot buy a car. He is in need of. If you are not helping him, fi sabilillah, then lend him with no extra charge. If you do so, then you obey Allah and it's called وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. It's like you lended Allah, not even you lended the person. وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ وَلَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. Allah gives you multiply. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful to all of us, because any one of us can be, may be in a state of need help, need loan. So Allah is encouraging those who are able to lend you with no extra fee for the sake of Allah. So someone who then lended you by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, not charge you anything, what should you do? مَنْ صَنَعَكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِيُ. You should thank him. The list of thanking is to give his money back on time. Not to delay him, not to deny. If you are able and you delay one day, you are on oppression. مَطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. The one who is able to pay, but he doesn't pay, it's oppression. Even the rent. You rent a house, the agreement is to pay on time, pay it on time. Don't delay it. Don't delay it. Because this person's right is due. If it's due on the 30, pay off the 30. Don't make it 31. Why are you delaying it if you're able? Don't delay it. People, they need their money. They need to use it. Maybe sometimes to pay them the expenses. Don't delay it. Na'am. So it's encouraged to pay off the debt. If someone die and there's a debt on it, he borrow another one, $1,000. Where this $1,000 is coming from? The person already died. It's gone. Since he died, nothing is on there. Where is it coming from? He died already. Yes? If he left any money back, that's where it's coming from. Someone, he died, he left $10,000. Make that $10,000, the $1,000 must be paid off before his close one is inherited. The inheritance cannot be divided unless the debt is paid off. The only thing before paying off the debt is the expense of burying the funeral. Yes. So the person to be buried, then if there is something remain from his wealth, pay off the debt. If there is something remain, fulfill the will, one third or less. If something remain, then distribute it and divide it among those who the inheritors. Any question? Na'am. The one who? Very good question, Ali. If the one who lended the money, he died, the one who borrowed the money will take the money because the one who lended him, he died already? Yes? Muhammad? What will you do? He died. The person he borrowed the money from, he already died. So he takes it away. Alhamdulillah, he died. Yes. The money goes back to those who inherit him. Because after death, the money is not actually his. Automatically, it goes to those who inherit him, his children, his wife, and the like. Now, last question. That's a good question. If someone die, to ask the ruling of asking people if there is debt on him, on the grave. Or before they make the janazah. Or at the grave time. Okay. Ayyid. Anyone who gives us ilm, knowledge on that. Was that a regular sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ all the time, in his time? Or that happened sometimes? Tayyib, inshallah, the answer will come back to the next week, inshallah. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. La ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.